To the hour, I'm Pete Shagnin. Terrorism expert Thomas Sanderson says gunmen in India may have planned all along to take Westerners as hostages.
These are high-value, high-publicity targets. I think that's obviously why they went to the Oberoi and to the Taj Mahal Hotel.
Meanwhile, AP White House correspondent Mark Smith reports that the Bush administration is denouncing today's terrorist attacks.
A White House spokesman condemns the attacks in the strongest terms and bemoans the innocent loss of life. At the State Department, horrific's the word being used, with officials promising Indian authorities any help they may need.
President-elect Barack Obama and congressional Democrats are working on the details of what could be the largest government spending program aimed at reviving the economy since Franklin D. Roosevelt's New Deal. As AFN's Jim Brown reports, a former official in the White House Office of Management and Budget says the plan might make life a little easier for America's families, but unfortunately it's not going to do anything for America's economy.
Aides to President-elect Obama are calling on lawmakers to pass by the January 20th inauguration legislation that meets Obama's two-year goal of saving or creating 2.5 million jobs. Obama economic advisors John Corzine and Larry Summers both have said the economic stimulus plan could total as much as $700 billion over the next 2 years. J.D. Foster, an economic policy expert at the Heritage Foundation, says it will be difficult for the government to find ways of pushing that much cash through government programs.
It's such a large number that really the only practical way they can do that is to send checks to the states so the states don't have to do the spending cuts they would otherwise have to do or tax increases, and then just send checks to individuals, much as we've done a couple times in the past with the rebate checks.
Foster says sending people a check as a reduction in their tax liability will have little or no effect on the economy. He says really the only thing that's going to work at this point is to cut tax rates. I'm Jim Brown.
The case of an assault against Christian young people by homosexuals in San Francisco is garnering national headlines. AFN's Ali Martin brings you this report.
On November 14, 13 members of Promised Land Fellowship Church went to the Castro District of San Francisco, a neighborhood known for its large homosexual population. The young people gathered at a street corner, joined hands, and began singing Amazing Grace. During an interview on Fox Network's The O'Reilly Factor, Christine Cloud described the group's intentions.
We're not trying to convert gay people into straight people, but we are down there to tell them about Jesus Christ in hopes that they would have that revelation.
Cloud says an angry homosexual grabbed her Bible. She describes what happened when she asked the man to return the holy book.
And he turned around, he said no, and he hit me upside the head with the Bible, knocking me to the ground and began to kick my legs.
Cloud says police were nearby and sprang into action.
The police took him into custody, and they came up to me and they asked me if I wanted to press charges against this man, and I said no. Tell him that I forgive him.
Members of Promised Land Fellowship go to the Castro District on a regular basis to evangelize the area. I'm Ali Martin.
A band plays Christmas music inside the Dallas-Fort Worth Airport. Meanwhile, Thanksgiving travelers can't quite believe their eyes as they make their way through the nation's airports and down its highways. Passenger Ken Hunt says he was surprised that there wasn't a crush of people at the airport.
When I walked in, there was no line, there was nobody around, and I thought, hey, this is going to be pretty easy.
Travel experts attribute the drop-off to worries about the economy. A spokeswoman for AAA says people are still really hesitant because the economy is in such bad shape. On Wall Street, crude oil rose $3.67 to close at $54.44 per barrel. And those are your top stories on American Family News. For more on these stories and for the latest news around the clock, visit onenewsnow.com. I'm Pete Shagnin.
Fight the fight. We are here to equip you. Because you love the truth, LibertyRadioLive.com.
You're listening to Cross the Border. That's the name of this program. I'm Nicholas, and we're continuing our study here in the book of Jeremiah. Henry had a good commentary on this, shed a little light on this phraseology that he's using here, the burden of Yahuwah. And so I'm going to pick up there where we left off with Henry's commentary. He says that, I'm going to go back up a little bit here. He says something that I think is very telling. He says, the debauching of the language of a nation being a notorious evidence of the prevalency of the wickedness in it. And so we'll pick up where we left off. They say, the burden of the Lord. This was the word that gave great offense to God, that whenever they spoke the word of Yahuwah, they called it, in scorn and derision, the burden of Yahuwah. Now, this was a word that the prophets much used, and used it seriously to show what a weight the word of God was upon their spirits, and of what importance it was, how pressingly it should come upon those that heard. The words of the false prophets had nothing ponderous in them, but God's words had. Those were as chaff, these as wheat. Now the profane scoffers took his word and made a jest and a byword of it. They made people merry with it, that so when the prophets used it, they might not make people serious with it. Note, it has been the artifice of Satan in all ages to obstruct the efficacy of sacred things by turning them into a matter of sport and ridicule. The mocking of God's messengers was the baffling of his messages. Perhaps this word was caught at and reproached by the scoffer as an improper word, newly coined by the prophets and not used in that sense by any classic author. It was only in this and in that last age that the word of the Lord was called the burden of the Lord. And so we get an idea there, or some ideas of exactly what the prophet was speaking when he spoke of the burden of the Lord coming out of the mouth of the false prophets. We're in Jeremiah chapter 24 and verse 1. Yahuwah showed me, and behold, two baskets of figs were set before the temple of Yahuwah. After that, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had carried away captive Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and the princes of Judah, with the carpenters and the smiths from Jerusalem, and had brought them to Babylon. One basket had very good figs, even like figs that are first ripe, and the other basket had very naughty figs, which could not be eaten, they were so bad. Then said Yahuwah unto me, what seest thou, Jeremiah? And I said, figs, the good figs, very good, and the evil, very evil, that cannot be eaten, so they are evil. Again, the word of Yahuwah came unto me, saying, thus saith Yahuwah, the God of Israel, like these good figs, so will I acknowledge them that are carried away captive of Judah, whom I have sent out of this place into the land of Chaldeans for their good. For I will set my eyes upon them for good, and I will bring them again to this land. And I will build them, and not pull them down. I will plant them, and not pluck them up. And I will give them a heart to know me, that I am Yahuwah, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. For they shall return unto me with their whole heart. And as the evil figs, which cannot be eaten, they are so evil, surely, thus saith the Lord. So I will give Zedekiah the king of Judah, and his princes, that is his sons, and the residue of Jerusalem that remain in this land, to them that dwell in the land of Egypt. And I will deliver them, to be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth for their hurt, to be a reproach and a proverb, a taunt and a curse in all places whither I shall drive them. And I will send them the sword, the famine, the pestilence among them till they be consumed from off the land that I gave unto them and to their fathers." The word that came to Jeremiah concerning all the people of Judah in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that was the first year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, the which Jeremiah the prophet spoke unto all the people of Judah and to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, "From the 13th year of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah, even unto this day, that the 23rd year, the word of Yahuwah hath come unto me, and I have spoken unto you, rising early and speaking, but you have not hearkened. And the Lord has sent unto you all his servants and prophets, rising early and sending them, but you have not hearkened, nor inclined your ear to hear. They said, turn you again now, every one from his evil way, and from the evil of your doings, and dwell in the land that Yahuwah hath given you and your fathers forever and ever. And go not after other gods to serve them and to worship them, and provoke me not to anger with the works of your hands, and I will do you no hurt. Yet you have not hearkened unto me, saith the Lord, that you might provoke me to anger with the works of your hands to your own hurt. Therefore, thus saith Yahuwah of hosts, because you have not heard my words, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, saith the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against this land, and against the inhabitants thereof, and against all those nations round about, and will utterly destroy them, and make them an astonishment, and a hissing, and a perpetual desolations. The Heavenly Father, our Creator, the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Yahuwah by name, He called a people, Israel, a family of nations, 12 tribes that had grown into the millions in the land of Egypt, where they had been put into slavery. Yes, they had to report for work and do as they were told, and he brought them out of the land of Egypt, and he taught them how to form a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. It was the kingdom of God in the flesh. It was the kingdom of God on earth, present in a temporal form. Then, as today, the Heavenly Father was asking them to voluntarily live by His law. He said, "You shall love the Lord your God. You shall serve no other gods." The same thing He's asking of us today, though we don't have a temporal kingdom of God, as was Israel in that day, up until the time they threw off the judges and said, "We want a king like the other nations," when the Heavenly Father proclaimed through the prophet, "They have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me from being their king." What kingdom do you want to live in? Will you volunteer your life to live according to His laws, the laws of His kingdom? And will you do it because you love Him? But why should you love Him? You know, and I think that's a terrible thing, that the enemy has robbed the people of the love of God. The love wherewith He loved them was so great that He became a man and He laid down His life to show them His love for them, to show them how to live. He was the perfect example of a life that lived in perfect obedience to the law of the kingdom of God. Yes, He never broke the law once. Yahshua, the Messiah, never, ever sinned. And though He did not deserve death, yes, He could have lived forever, but He willingly laid down His life. And that's the love that He loved us with. And it's expressed in those terms, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." the modern day prophets, those false prophets, like the false prophets of Yirmiyahu's day, Jeremiah's day. They say, they use that scripture a lot. They like that, John 3:16. Yep. For God so loved the world that whosoever would believe on him. What does it mean to believe? Well, it's all, yeah, just acknowledge. It's an acknowledgement that he existed. But what did Yeshua say about believe? He said, the demons believe and tremble. They're not saved. They believe. Why do they tremble? No, if you believe, if you really believe with a faith, a belief that is more than just an acknowledgement, more than just saying the words, whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. They love those little verses, those little clips. And then they assure people that they say the magic words and they'll be saved. They lead them up to the kingdom, but they suffer them not to enter because they don't go in themselves. And that's why they hang on a few phrases from a few verses, because they can't take the whole word. Because it convicts them of sin. They can't take the whole word because it does not give them license to practice their unrighteousness. And that's why they hold back. Because they're just like the pastors of Jeremiah's day. Covetous. Greedy. Why else would you sign up with the state for benefits? Either you're ignorant and deceived, or you're covetous. You want to be secure in your salary. You want to be secure in your pension so that when you retire, you'll have money and you can do whatever you want. You want to be secure in the medical plan of the world. You want all those benefits. It's covetousness. I'm sorry. You're not relying on the Heavenly Father to provide for you. It's covetousness. But now it's a virtue. To trust in Social Security is a virtue. That's right. Now it's a virtue to be obedient to the laws of the state. Oh, we cannot sin against the state by talking about politics in the church. What is politics? It's policy. It's all law. It all has to do with behavior. And it all has to do with licentiousness. Because the law gives you license. And the law prohibits. It either licenses you. See, our Heavenly Father, He prohibits things. But He gives us license to do everything which He does not prohibit. That's how we get license out of the law of God. That's how we get license out of the Bible. We can do everything. What did Paul say? All things are lawful for me. That's what he was saying. It's the scripture. His law allows me to do everything that His law does not prohibit. All things are lawful for me, he said, but not all things are expedient. Well, that's a true statement. Everything which our Heavenly Father allows is lawful, though not all things are expedient. A statement of fact, a statement of truth. That's what law is all about. That's what politics is all about. It's all about licensure and prohibition. And that's what God's law is all about. Licensure and prohibition. And the sin of licentiousness is when men allow, and the kingdoms of men allow, that which our Heavenly Father does not allow. They give them license to sin against Him. Choose this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve Yahuwah, and we will study His word to show ourselves approved. We will let His word be a lamp to our feet, that we might not sin against Him, because we love Him. And we love Him because He loved us first. But the prophets of Baal, what do they say? Oh, if you follow the law of God, why, you're a legalist. And somehow there's virtue in not being a legalist and not following the law of God. Yes, they are false prophets. The world is full of them. And there's just about every edifice has one in it, or two or more. Some congregations are full of them. Dangerous places to tread is the corporate church edifice. The state 501c3 status not-for-profit corporation riding the back of the beast. Behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, saith Yahuwah, and Nebuchadnezzar the king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against this land, and against the inhabitants thereof, and against all these nations round about, and will utterly destroy them, and make them an astonishment, and a hissing, and a perpetual desolation. Moreover, I will take from them the voice of mirth, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride, the sound of the millstones, and the light of the candle, and this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. And it shall come to pass, when the 70 years are accomplished, that I will punish the king of Babylon, and that nation, saith Yahuwah, for their iniquity, and the land of the Chaldeans, and will make it a perpetual, and make it perpetual desolations. And I will bring upon that land all my words which I have pronounced against it, even all that is written in this book, which Jeremiah hath prophesied against all the nations. For many nations and great kings shall serve themselves of them also, and I will recompense them according to their deeds and according to the works of their own hands. For thus saith Yahuwah, God of Israel, unto me, take the wine cup of the fury of my hand, and cause all nations to whom I send thee to drink it. And they shall drink, and be moved, and be mad because of the sword that I send among them. And then I took the cup at the Lord's hand, and made all the nations to drink unto whom Yahuwah had sent me. It's interesting, we did the study in Daniel, and Daniel was reading the word of Jeremiah, and he was counting the years, 70 years, and he prophesied, and he gave us his report that Jeremiah's word was true. The prophet Jeremiah, they served Babylon 70 years, and Daniel was there when the 70 years was up. And all that word was fulfilled. So I suggest to everyone to, when we're done here, to move on to the book of Daniel, or perhaps review the study online I have there in the book of Daniel. You'll find it a very interesting study. Also follow that with Revelation. And speaking of Revelation, I've had a few revelations since I did those studies. Perhaps I need to review them myself and update them a little bit. Or perhaps I should just do a little addendum to those studies. I may do that as a one-day program, an addendum to the Revelation and Daniel studies. But you see how all these pieces fit together. And one book leads to another. We have Jeremiah, Daniel, and then Revelation. It's very important to understanding the prophecies of Daniel and the book of Revelation to understand the term, the abomination which maketh desolate. Because that's what we're talking about here. That's what Jeremiah is prophesying. The abominations of the nation, the abominations of Judah, which desolated Jerusalem and the temple. That's what we're talking about. That is the abomination which maketh desolate. It's not a one instance thing that happened somewhere like Antioch Epiphanes slaughtering a pig on the altar of the temple. Certainly that's an abominable act, but it is not the abomination which maketh desolate. Both abominations which maketh desolate parallel each other practically perfectly, because the same things were going on in Jerusalem both times. Armies compassed about Jerusalem, besieged the city both times. The kings and the priests were in rebellion against the Heavenly Father, against the God of Israel. The prophets prophesied falsely, and the priests, well, the same thing happened again, leading up to 70 AD. Both called the abomination. And, you know, Yahshua said it, spoken of by Daniel the prophet. Well, what did Daniel the prophet speak of? Well, he spoke, of course, of the abomination which desolated the temple. And when the 70 years were up, the temple was rebuilt. Daniel was given a prophecy of 2,300 days, and it said the house would be built, and the sacrifice would be instituted. And it happened just according to his word. So this is the kind of revelation, this is the kind of insight we need. Common sense, no nonsense, clearly, plainly, without confusion from the word of our Heavenly Father. You're listening to Cross the Border. We'll be back in a couple minutes.
Fight the fight. We are here to equip you because you love the truth. LibertyRadioLive.com.
Now listen to me. The Bible says, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. I want you to know that a corporation is Caesar.
Government takeover of the church.
This DVD is the most powerful tool we have for waking up those asleep in the pews. The scripture calls for his people to come out of her. The corporate church is the apostate church, the whore that rides the beast. Make copies and give them away to your corporate church friends and loved ones. The truth will make them free. They will watch the DVD, Government Takeover of the Church. Who will tell them if not you?
Get this DVD for a donation of $25 from LibertyRadioLive.com. Order online today or call 559-781-3773.
Now listen to me.
Don't buy the sizzle of that steak until you understand the cost. In other words, don't buy the hype being dispensed by the rare coin pitchman of the alternative media until you understand the full story. FlyingEagleGold.com offers the most private, non-confiscable gold and silver coinage in the world. At very competitive cost, Jeffrey Bennett has been a purveyor of wealth protection, gold and silver bullion, and rare collectible coins for over 17 years. His personal experience reaches back to 1958, and he takes personal pride in putting your interests ahead of all else. To hear the whole story, not the hard sell, you're invited to call Flying Eagle Gold at 623-327-1778. That's 623-327-1778 for the truth about protecting your wealth. Join Jeffrey Bennett each day, Monday through Friday, when he hosts right here on LibertyRadioLive.com. If you'd like to get a copy of this program, you may subscribe at LibertyRadioLive.com for only $45 a month. And you'll receive an MP3 CD weekly of all the First Amendment Rights Media Group programs. As a bonus, we'll send you a password for our audio archives online. That's a $15 value. Or you can request any month of any program on one MP3 CD for a minimum donation of only $20. Or any single program on tape, MP3 CD, or CD for only $15. You can do all this online at LibertyRadioLive.com. Just follow the instructions to make a donation or subscribe. Don't do internet, then call 559-781-3773, 559-781-3773, and we'll be honored to help you. Thank you from all of us here at the First Amendment Rights Media Group.
Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. My website is crosstheborder.org. Go over there, take advantage of the resources, listen to those Bible studies. They're all free there, free to listen to on demand anytime you want. You'll find the last 5 days broadcast there, archived within 30 minutes after the program. They're uploaded there, so you can listen to them immediately, anytime you want, on demand. We're in chapter 25 of Jeremiah. Jeremiah gives us the 70 years that is referred to in the book of Daniel. And it shall come to pass in Jeremiah chapter 25 and verse 12, when the 70 years are accomplished, I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, saith Yahuwah, for their iniquity and the land of the Chaldeans, and will make it perpetual desolations. Whew. Boy, talk about the word of the Lord. I mean, you know, the word of Yahuwah, does it stand? Perpetual desolations. Yes, it's being desolated even today. And I will bring upon that land all my words which I have pronounced against it, even all that is written in this book which Jeremiah hath prophesied against all the nations. For many nations and great kings shall serve themselves of them also. And I will recompense them according to their deeds and according to the works of their own hands, For thus saith Yahuwah, God of Israel, unto me, take the wine cup of the fury at my hand, and cause all nations to whom I send thee to drink it. And they shall drink, and be moved, and be mad, because of the sword that I will send among them. Then I took the cup at the Lord's hand, and made all the nations to drink unto whom Yahuwah had sent me, to wit, Jerusalem, and the cities of Judah, and the kings thereof, and the princes thereof, to make them a desolation, an astonishment, a hissing, and a curse, as it is this day. Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and his servants, and his princes, and all his people, and all the mingled people, and all the kings of the land of Uz, and all of the kings of the land of the Philistines, and Ashkelon, and Azah, and Ekron, and the remnant of Ashdod, Edom, and Moab, and the children of Ammon, and the kings of Tyrus, and the kings of Zidon, the kings of the isles which are beyond the sea, Dedan, Ter-Nah, and Buz, and all that are in the utmost corners, and all the kings of Arabia, all the kings of the mingled people that dwell in the desert, and all the kings of Zimri, and all the kings of Elam, and all the kings of the Medes, and all the kings of the north, far and near, one with another, and all the kingdoms of the world, which are upon the face of the earth, and the king of Shishak shall drink after them. Therefore shalt thou say unto them, thus saith Yahuwah of hosts, the God of Israel, drink ye and be drunken, and spew and fall and rise no more, because of the sword which I will send among you. And it shall be, if they refuse to take the cup at thy hand to drink, then shalt thou say unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, you shall certainly drink. For lo, I begin to bring evil on the city which is called by my name, and should you be utterly unpunished? Ye shall not be unpunished, for I will call for a sword upon all the inhabitants of the earth, saith Yahuwah of hosts. You see why Jeremiah was called a prophet to the nations. He continues, therefore prophesy thou against them all these words, and say unto them, the Lord shall roar from on high, and utter his voice from his holy habitation. He shall mightily roar upon his habitation, and shall give a shout, as they that reed the grapes, against all the inhabitants of the earth. A noise shall come even to the ends of the earth, for Yahuwah hath a controversy with the nations. He will plead with all flesh. He will give them that are wicked to the sword, saith Yahuwah. Thus saith Yahuwah of hosts, Behold, evil shall go forth from nation to nation, and a great whirlwind shall be raised up from the coasts of the earth. And the slain of the Lord shall be at that day from one end of the earth even unto the other end of the earth. They shall not be lamented, neither gathered nor buried, they shall be dung upon the ground. Howl, ye shepherds, and cry, and wallow yourselves in the ashes, ye principal of the flock, for the days of your slaughter and of your dispersions are accomplished, and you shall fall like a pleasant vessel. And the shepherds shall have no way to flee, nor the principal of the flock to escape. The voice of the cry of the shepherds and a howling of the principal of the flock shall be heard, for the Lord has spoiled their pasture, and the peaceable habitations are cut down because of the fierce anger of Yahuwah. He hath forsaken his covert as the lion, for their land is desolate because of the fierceness of the oppressor and because of his fierce anger. And this is a warning to all the nations, and I believe that includes America today. I don't see any exclusion here for any nation. It says to the utmost corners of the earth, and no, that doesn't mean that the earth is square or flat. All of you atheists out there who have a problem with language, it's the same It's the same thing if you say the four corners of the earth. It's the same thing as saying the four quarters of the earth, because the Bible does declare that the earth is round. And only a fool. Am I calling you atheist fools? Well, I guess I am, aren't I? Because only a fool would think that the ancients actually believed that the earth was flat. People are not as stupid as you think they are. Perhaps you needed a book to tell you that the earth wasn't flat, but most people could just look into the sky and perceive that the earth is round because all of the other planets are round. Now, people are not as stupid as you make them out to be. And the only reason you make them out to be so stupid is because you think you're so wise and intelligent. Certainly, everyone else must be a fool. Well, you tell me, when I put it that way, who is really the fool? An idiot can look into the sky and perceive that the earth is not flat. And boats aren't going to fall over the edge if they go too far. Yes, I concede there are a lot of idiots. There are a lot of people who would believe that, regardless of the overwhelming evidence that confronts them every day and night that they open their eyes and look up. Jeremiah chapter 26 and verse 1. In the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, came the word from Yahuwah, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Stand in the court of the temple, and speak thus unto all the cities of Judah, which come to worship in his house. All the words that I command thee, speak unto them, diminish not a word. If so be, they will hearken, and turn every man from his evil way, that I may repent me of the evil which I purpose to do unto them because of the evil of their doings. And thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith Yahuwah, If you will not hearken unto me to walk in my law which I have set before you, to hearken to the words of my servants, the prophets, whom I have sent unto you, both rising up early and sending them, but you have not hearkened. Let me ask you, will America hearken? Will they walk in his law, which he has set before them? Yeah, he has set his law before America. It's embodied in the, Yahshua. He summed it up in a phrase, love God and love your neighbor as yourself. That profound statement in the Declaration of Independence, all men are created equal. Isn't that the same thing as love your neighbor as yourself? And the reason that we love God first is because he teaches us how to love our neighbors ourselves. We do it in a way that pleases him. He gave us his law to teach us how to love God, to love him, and to love our neighbors ourselves. The law, his law, is before us. He said it to Judah through the prophet Jeremiah, If you will not hearken to me, to walk in my law which I have set before you, to hearken to the words of my servants the prophets, whom I said unto you, both rising up early and sending them, but you have not hearkened. Then I will make this house like Shiloh, and I will make this city a curse to all the nations of the earth. So the priests and the prophets and all the people heard Jeremiah speaking these words in the house of Yahuwah. Now it came to pass, when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak unto the people, that the priests and the prophets and all the people took him, saying, You shall surely die. Why hast thou prophesied in the name of Yahuwah, saying, This house shall be like Shiloh, and this city shall be desolate without an inhabitant? And all the people were gathered against Jeremiah in the house of Yahuwah, in the temple. And the princes of Judah heard these things, and they came up from the king's house unto the house of Yahuwah, and sat down in the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house. Then spoke the priests and the prophets unto the princes and all the people, saying, This man is worthy to die, for he has prophesied against this city, as you have heard with your ears. Ah, Jeremiah, bold as a lion. Then spoke Jeremiah unto all the princes and to all the people, saying, Yahuwah sent me to prophesy against this house and against this city all the words that you have heard. Therefore now amend your ways and your doings, and obey the voice of Yahuwah your God. And Yahuwah will repent him of the evil that he has pronounced against you. He said, yes, I prophesied against this house. And it's from your Creator. It is from the God of Israel. Repent of your evil, and he will repent to do that evil to you. And then he says, as for me, behold, I am in your hand. Do with me as seemeth good and meet unto you. But know you for certain that if you put me to death, you shall surely bring innocent blood upon yourselves and upon this city and upon the inhabitants thereof. For of a truth, Yahuwah has sent me unto you to speak all these words in your ears. Then said the princes and all the people unto the priests and the prophets, this man is not worthy to die, for he has spoken to us in the name of Yahuwah our God. Then rose up certain of the elders of the land and spoke to all the assembly of the people, saying, Micah, the Morasthite, prophesied in the days of Hezekiah, king of Judah, and spoke to all the people of Judah, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, Zion shall be plowed like a field, and Jerusalem shall become heaps, and the mountains of the houses as the high places of a forest. Did Hezekiah, king of Judah, and all Judah not put him to death? Did he not fear Yahuwah, which besought Yahuwah, and the Lord repented him of the evil which he had pronounced against them? Thus might we procure great evil against our own souls. They're saying, hey, you know, there's something familiar about this. Hasn't this happened before? And look, when it happened last time, we repented. And if we kill this man, aren't we going to procure great evil against our souls? And there was also a man that prophesied. Yeah, you can imagine the scene in the temple. They're debating this. They got Jeremiah. He's not going anywhere. He's saying, you can kill me, but look out if you do, because you'll have innocent blood on your hands. I'm just preaching the word of the Heavenly Father. He's put it in my mouth, and I have no choice but to speak it. It's like a burning fire within me. So they're having these discussions. And then there was also a man that prophesied in the name of the Lord, Uriah, the son of Shemaiah, and of Kirjath Jearimun, who prophesied against the city and against the land according to all the words of Jeremiah. And when Jehoiakim the king, with all his mighty men and all his princes, heard his words, the king sought to put him to death. But when Uriah heard it, he was afraid and fled and went into Egypt. Looks like Jeremiah wasn't alone. He's just the one that didn't run, for one thing. There were a few times that he hid himself. And also he had a scribe, and he had the whole thing recorded for us as commanded by the Heavenly Father, because really it was the Heavenly Father that caused the words of Jeremiah to be written. Thus we have the book of Jeremiah from that day into this, because we know that Daniel had it, you know, more than 70 years later, because this is before the captivity, and 70 years after the captivity, or into the captivity, or at the very end of it, we have the record of Daniel reading these words and realizing that the time was at hand for the prophecy to be fulfilled, when they would be called the people whom Yahuwah hath brought out of the land of the north and from all of the nations wherein he scattered them. So they sought Uriah, and he was afraid and fled. So we had another prophet prophesying the same things. And Jehoiakim, king, sent men into Egypt, namely Elnathan, the son of Achbor, and certain men with him into Egypt. And they fetched forth Uriah out of Egypt and brought him to Jehoiakim, the king, who slew him with the sword and cast his dead body into the graves of the common people. Nevertheless, the hand of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, was with Jeremiah, that they should not give him to the hand of the people to put him to death. So one prophet was dead at the same time that Jeremiah, preaching the same word that Jeremiah approached. Though he fled, the king sent men after him. They brought him back and slew him. And they sought to slay. They sought to slay Jeremiah, but the hand of the Heavenly Father was protecting him. In chapter 27 and verse 1 of the book of Jeremiah, it reads, "In the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, the king of Judah, came this word unto Jeremiah from Yahuwah, saying, Thus saith Yahuwah to me, Make thee bonds and yokes, and put them upon thy neck." So, you know, they used yoke on oxen to, you know, to grind the corn or the wheat or whatever grain they were grinding and do various tasks to turn the wheel. So he had a yoke and it made it and put it upon himself like stocks upon his neck. And he put them on his neck and send them to the king of Edom, and to the king of Moab, and to the king of the Ammonites, and to the king of Tyrus, and to the king of Zidon, by the hand of the messengers which come to Jerusalem, unto Zedekiah the king of Judah, and command them to say to their masters, Thus saith Yahuwah of hosts, the God of Israel, Thus shall you say to your masters, I have made the earth, the man and the beast that are upon the ground, by my great power and my outstretched hand, and had given it to whomever, to whom it seemed meet unto me. And now I have given all these lands into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. And here we see again why Jeremiah is called the prophet to the nations, because this prophecy, the prophecy of the yoke upon the neck, is being sent out by servants to all the masters of all of those different kingdoms in all of the lands. And the word is, I have given all the lands into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant. And that's chapter 27 and verse 6. And the beasts of the field have I given him also to serve him. And all nations shall serve him, and his son, and his son's son, until the very time of his land come. And then many nations and great kings shall serve themselves of him. And it shall come to pass that the nation and kingdom which shall not serve the same Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and that will not put their neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon, that nation will I punish, saith Yahuwah, with the sword, and with the famine, and with the pestilence, until I have consumed them by his hand. Oh yes, all of the nations are learning about Jeremiah, Yirmiyahu, the prophet, because now he is prophesying to all of the nations that Nebuchadnezzar is the chosen vessel, is the sword of Yahuwah to punish all of these nations for their iniquities, and their only hope was to surrender, and that they would be servants unto the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar. He continues, verse 9, and that's where we're going to continue next time on Cross the Border. I'm Nicholas. Visit my website. If you want to re-listen to this program, if you want to catch up, there you can hear the last 5 days' programs of this Jeremiah study. Do take advantage of the other studies that are there on my website. And, of course, I would like to hear from you. So find that email link and paste that email address into your Yahoo account or whatever you use, and put on the subject line, Cross the Border or Nicholas, so I'll know what it is.
Let's just sing it.
Jesus, we love you. We worship you, adore you. We lift up your name. Jesus, you're worthy of blessing and honor, and we give you praise. You're worthy of glory and praise. We lift up your name, O Lord. You're worthy of praise. We lift up our hands in your name, declaring your praise, O Lord. You're worthy of praise.
Yes, Lord. You're so worthy.